Support for KPLU comes from the investment firm of McAdams Wright Reagan, serving individuals, families, public and private companies, and nonprofit organizations, with a mission to enhance the financial security of their clients through analysis, research, planning, and investment. More at nwrinc.com.
We are delighted to have a two-time Grammy winner, a recent winner of the 2014 Frankfurt Music Prize, a collaborator with Buddy Rich, Charlie Haden, and the Quartet West, the Tonight Show Band, the Rolling Stones, Frank Zappa, just to name a few, and a proud owner of a new album called A Simple Truth. Please welcome Ernie Watts. saxophonist Ernie Watts, live in the studios on KPLU with a fantastic band. Mark Seals, piano, Dave Captain, and Gary Hobbs at the bass and drums. And Ernie Watts has a terrific new record out with his regular quartet called A Simple Truth. Ernie, I'd actually like to start talking about some of your earlier collaborations. Straight out of the prestigious Berklee College of Music, you got to work with the Buddy Rich Band. And we've got a lot of young students today coming up whose first experience in jazz is working with big bands. And I wonder what you can tell us about developing your sound in a big band setting.
Well, the thing is, with big band, it's just the perfect setting for learning about discipline, learning about playing your instrument personally well, different things dealing with details with playing, you know, pitch, time, everything. So it's a very, I mean, it's the greatest way to learn. And that's the way all musicians learned, you know, in the past. That was a part of our tradition. Young musicians would get in bands and they'd play for a few years and then they'd establish their own voice and go on. So the big band background, the big band experience is very, very important. That's school.
Now, what a lot of jazz musicians these days are finding is that they can find work with pop bands, hip-hop bands, and other bands outside of jazz, which you did. How did you find your way into working with people like Marvin Gaye and Frank Zappa?
Well, the background that I had in jazz, you know, growing up listening to John Coltrane and Cannonball and Eric Dolphy and Ornette Coleman and all of those people, it sort of totally overtrained me for pop music. So when I went from all of the jazz music that I was studying and learning and listening to, you know, like when I was 14 years old, I was listening to John Coltrane on records, you know. And so as a kid learning how to play the saxophone, I thought that's the way you played the saxophone. You know, you played if you were going to play the saxophone, it sounded like John Coltrane or Charlie Parker or Cannonball or something like that. So I had that sound totally in my head. So when I went to L.A. and started performing, you know, with pop groups and recording, it was extremely easy, you know, because it was because the vocabulary of that particular music, great music, but the vocabulary is very, very limited, you know. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun working with all of these great people. They were all really great at what they did, you know, but it was all very comfortable for me to blend into.
Right.
In that way.
Now, one of the bands that I think our audience is most familiar hearing you perform in, and I would guess a band that really made you a jazz star, is working with Charlie Hayden's band, the Quartet West. Tell us about working with that band.
Well, I met Charlie Hayden in 1984, 85. I had been doing a lot of studio work. I had been you know, recording for years. A very, very great classical composer and film composer named Michel Colombier wrote a piece. He wrote a concerto for saxophone and orchestra for me to play. Mm-hmm. And so I performed that at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion in Los Angeles, and Charlie was backstage. So after I played that, he came up and introduced himself, and we talked, and he said, well, you know, we should get together and play some music. And that's where we started, you know. We started playing together from then, and we played together for, 20-some years, you know. And we're still, you know, Charlie has been ill. He's getting better. So, you know, I don't think the journey is over either.
Well, a recent record, Sophisticated Ladies, with the band,
right,
with a bunch of guest vocalists, was fantastic.
Right. Yeah, there's some beautiful music.
And Ernie Watts has a record with his regular European quartet called A Simple Truth. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Okay. And he's playing tonight with Mark Seals, Dave Captain, and Gary Hobbs.
Great band. These guys are bad.
These guys are bad in the best way. We would love
bad.
To hear another song from this band. What do you got for us next?
We'd really enjoy playing some of the classic jazz pieces, you know, and people have forgotten about Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker and this incredible music of the late 40s and 50s, this bebop music. So we're going to play a very famous Dizzy Gillespie tune called Bebop.
Fantastic. Ernie Watts and the Quartet live on KPLU. We'll be right back. Ernie Watts, with fantastic drumming, Gary Hobbs, excellent stuff. Ernie Watts has a terrific new record called out now called A Simple Truth. Ernie, tell us a little bit about, I mean, you work in a lot of different settings. You show up and you've got these guys to play with in Seattle. You play a lot with Charlie Hayden's band, and then you've got this quartet of your own, mostly German guys, right?
Right. It's a German quartet that we've been playing together with for 15 years. Christoph Sanger on piano, Rudy Engel on bass, and Heinrich Kerberling on drums, and they're really great players.
Now, with them being in Europe, how much time do you get to spend working with those guys?
Well, you know, these days, Patricia, my wife, and I, we're spending more time in Europe than we are in the United States. Huh. So, you know, we do a spring tour and a fall tour scheduled in Europe. And then, you know, I'm going back for a jazz festival. We're going back in a couple of weeks. And then I will be going back over. Dave Grusin is going to be having his 80th birthday.
Wow.
And we're going to do some concerts in St. Moritz with Dave to celebrate his 80th birthday. So I'll be doing that. And I go back to Croatia. I'm doing a big concert with the radio orchestra there of all big band arrangements that I played and things that have been written for me dedicated to different saxophone players. So we spend a lot of time in Europe.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we get to play a lot together.
Now, I was excited to see that the new record, A Simple Truth, has a song that you co-wrote with the pianist who's here with us today, Mark
Seals.
That's
right, with Mark Seals, and that is A Simple Truth. Yeah, that's a title tune.
Right, right. Yeah. And how did you guys get together for composing? I remember you were at Bumbershoot together last summer for a fantastic show.
Mark and I have played a lot over the years, you know, and we listened to each other and we played together, and I was thinking about this tune, and I wrote the melody line to it, and I said, Mark, I'm working on this tune, listen to this and see what you think, and you know, outline some harmony things for me. So he did like three different versions. You know, it's like, I'm not a piano player, right? I'm a saxophone player, and I left Berkeley before I really got my piano stuff together, you know?
Yeah.
So quite often I work in collaboration with great keyboard players, you know? So Mark did like three versions, and for me to play one version would take about 45 minutes, you know? Piano players are so great because you can play a melody and say, well, what do you think? And then the guy will say, well, you know, you can do this, or you can do this, but, you know, if you want to do it off the minor thing, you can do this, or, you know, how about fourths, you know, and you can do this, and I'm going, yeah. You know, so he did three versions, and he sent them back to me, and then I liked the simplest one. And so that's what we chose to use together for A Simple Truth. And it's a beautiful ballad. It turned out really well because it's quite unique, you know. It's like an 11-bar form, and that's odd for most music. So another adventure.
Yeah, it sounds like I just got the answer to this next question, but I was going to say, from someone who's played in a lot of pop settings and a lot of studio settings, what is it about jazz that keeps you coming back, it keeps you interested?
Well, jazz is as much as you can perceive and conceive. You know, as much as you can play, as much as you can perceive consciously, you can interpret it in a jazz form. With pop music and rock music and blues-oriented music, it's within a particular vocabulary, you know, and so you have to do certain things in a certain way or it does not conform to that formula. You know, jazz is a lot more flexible as a music form. And if you're a musician like me, you know that, you know, I've been playing for 50 some years. I've been practicing for 2 or 3 hours a day, listening to things, thinking about things, trying to play as well as I can possibly play. Then for me, jazz is the ultimate experience because as good as I can get, there's something there to still learn, and there's something there for me to do, you know.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because it sounds to me, and you were busy practicing for a good 15 minutes before we started the show today, you seem like you're right on top of your game. Do you think you're playing as well as you ever have?
Today. I'm playing as good as I can play today.
Everybody
tomorrow
should...
is another story. You know, that's why I get up tomorrow and I practice tomorrow, you know.
Ernie, we've got time for one more song. What would you like to finish with?
Okay, we're going to play another composition from A Simple Truth, and this is called The Road We're On.